Today, on The Journey.
When we follow the leader, not only do we find great joy and peace and confidence in his compassion, but we are ones who need them to show compassion as well.
Have you resolved to be more kind-hearted in your dealings with others? To share true love with those you encounter each day? What exactly will that look like? What will it be like for others and for you? Those are the questions Ron Moore addresses on today's program. Through the answers, you'll discover a joy and faith that draws others to the love of Jesus. Also, please note our offer of Ron's book study titled Romans. There he makes the foundational truths of the Christian faith understandable and clear. Romans is available as a digital download for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a message titled, Compassion on the Journey.
Compassion. It's a rich word, isn't it? What does compassion look like? What does compassion truly look like in the life of a man or woman who says, yeah, I follow Jesus Christ? Is it soft and bending, requiring one to put his or her beliefs and convictions kind of on the back seat, kind of put them aside? Is it a go-along, to get along, peace at any cost mentality? Does compassion ever mean we back away from the truth? See, I believe when the world pictures a Christian, so often they picture a head full of the Bible, a heart full of conviction, but empty of compassion. When it comes to compassion, how do you think those in your world would rate you? How would your children rate you? How would your husband or wife rate you? How would your friends or family rate you if you were being scored in this characteristic of compassion? We've been involved in a series of sermons we titled Following the Leader. We looked at the resolve of Jesus as he made his way back into Jerusalem, knowing that he would die there. We saw the power of the risen Lord as he is raised from the dead. But not just the power of the risen Lord, the power of Jesus to change lives. As he encounters lives, he changes them. We want to focus on the compassion of Jesus. As he encounters the very people who ran from him when he needed their support the most, we're going to learn how Jesus shows compassion. And we're going to learn when we follow the leader, compassion will characterize our lives. So take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, the day that Jesus was raised from the dead, this is Resurrection Sunday, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. Now think about that. Whether Jesus opened the locked doors and walked inside the room or simply appeared among the disciples, we're not told. But the point is, closed doors did not stop the risen Lord. And whether it's the closed doors of a room or the closed doors of your heart, the risen Jesus has more than enough power to show up and encounter you wherever you are, wherever you may be hiding, wherever you may be running, whatever fears you have. He will meet you there. And when Jesus shows up, there is one thing he always brings: peace. Look at verse 19. Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." That salutation of peace, used often in that day, was more than just a common greeting to fearful disciples. The last day the disciples had seen Jesus, they had run from him. When Jesus had been arrested, by the soldiers, and they took off. At the moment, Jesus needed their courage and he needed their support. They had caved. And now the same Jesus stands before them alive. And with great relief, he tells those who deserted him, "Peace be with you." Isn't that great? Here's the first thing I want us to see from this passage. Jesus, always full of compassion, replaces confusion with peace. Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 5, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now think of that. When Jesus comes, the confusion is gone and peace is put in its place. Because of his love and because of his compassion, the love that would take him to the cross, the love that would cause him to die for your sins and mine, because of that compassion and that love, we who were far off have been brought near, Scripture says. We who were dead spiritually have been made alive. We who were confused now realize the peace of God. So the first question I have for you is, do you know the peace, the calmness, the satisfaction that only Jesus can bring to life? Do you know the peace of your sins being forgiven? Your slate wiped clean. Now, at this point in the passage, the disciples were still experiencing the emotion of fear. They had been fearing the Jews. They thought the Jews would come and put them on a cross next or execute them in some way. And now, when Jesus shows up, we're told in the other Gospels, at first, they think he's a ghost. They still can't believe he has truly been raised from the dead. And so to prove that he is truly the risen Jesus, look what he does. Look at verse 20. "After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side." To calm their fears, to demonstrate that he was truly the risen Jesus, he showed them his nail-pierced hands and his side that was still wounded from the spear. The compassion of Jesus turned their fear and doubt into joy. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. When they knew it was him, when they saw the proof, they were overjoyed. The compassion of Jesus always turns fear into joy. Now fear, I think you'd agree, is a paralyzing emotion. All kinds of things bring fear. Sometimes the fear is just imaginary, terror of what might come. And that's the fear the disciples are experiencing here. The doors were locked for fear the Jewish leaders might come and arrest them and kill them just as they had killed Jesus. And then it was Jesus who came and said, "Peace be with you." And he calmed their fears and he erased their doubts by showing them his hands and his side, and they were overjoyed. Here's the second thing. Jesus, always full of compassion, replaces fear with joy. And when Jesus comes, when he drives the fear away, it's not just an event. It's a way of life. The joy of knowing that with Jesus there's nothing to fear. And when the doors of our hearts are locked with fear, fear of whatever, Jesus can come and his compassion turn your fear and doubt into deep and lasting joy and satisfaction and meaning. As I was studying for this sermon, did a little word study on the word compassion. And of course it means to have pity or feel sympathy. But it was interesting to me, every time it is used of Jesus, every time it is taught in Scripture, when Jesus has compassion, he always does something. He never just has pity on people. He always does something. Let me read you a few verses. Matthew 15. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people, for they have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way." And so you know what he did? He took just a few fish and a few loaves, and he created food because he had compassion on the people. He met a physical need. Mark chapter 1. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man and said, "I am willing. Be clean." He did something. Luke chapter 7. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the town was with her, and when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." And then he went up and he touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. "Young man, I say to you, get up." And the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Isn't that amazing? Jesus' heart went out to her, and he did something. Jesus, filled with compassion, never just says, "I'm so sorry for them. I wish I could do something." Wherever you are in your life, whatever you're going through, whatever you need, Jesus, full of compassion, takes away the confusion, takes away the fear, and puts joy. Now, when Jesus appeared to his disciples that Sunday evening, there were only 10 disciples in the room. We know one who is missing, Judas. Judas betrayed him and then went out and committed suicide. But for some reason, another disciple wasn't there in the room. Thomas. For whatever reason, we're not told, Thomas was not in the room. Look at verse 24. "Now Thomas, called Didymus," means the twin, "one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.'" But look what he says. "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." And the other disciples saw it and they said, "Thomas, we saw him. We really did." And Thomas said, "I don't care what you say. Unless I see it myself and touch the scars, I will not believe." Now, this is the same Thomas who in John 11 demonstrated great courage. Jesus was going back to Jerusalem, the resolve of Jesus. And the disciples said, "Don't go back. The last time you were there, they tried to kill you." Jesus went back, and it was Thomas who said in John chapter 11, verse 16, "Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, 'Let's go also, that we may die with him.'" Great courage. But now, his courage and confidence is replaced with doubt as it clings to his heart. The disciples are filled with excitement. They've encountered Jesus. They told Thomas they saw him. But he said, "I don't care how excited you are about it. I don't care how convinced you are, and I don't care how you're trying to convince me. I don't even care how much joy and excitement you're showing. I will not believe unless I see the nail marks in his hands. I put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side. I will not believe." This provides a great lesson for us. Some of you are so excited about your relationship with Jesus. You have trusted in Christ. You are growing in Christ. And you want to tell others what Jesus has done for you. You want to tell a spouse, and you want that spouse to have that same joy and excitement and trust in Christ. And you want to tell your siblings, and you want to tell a mother or a father or a friend, and you go tell them, and what do they say? "I don't care how excited you are. I'm just not interested." And you're trying so hard to convince them, and you think it is like on you that you have to demonstrate something to show them the joy, to show them the excitement. I just want to encourage you that while you still need to demonstrate the joy, and while you still need to demonstrate the excitement, and while you still need to share with them the message of Christ, not even the 10 disciples who saw Jesus face to face could convince Thomas that Jesus was truly alive. So just take the pressure off yourself to think that it's just up to you to convince your mother or your father or your brother or sister that Jesus is alive. Only Jesus can do that. They need something more, just like Thomas did, than more words from you. Now, Thomas was like that for a week. Look at verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again. Thomas, this time, was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, and he says the same thing again, peace be with you. He always brings peace. And who's the first person he heads to? Thomas. Then he said to Thomas, Thomas, you want to see? You want to touch? You want to feel? Here I am. Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. It was only an encounter with Jesus that took away the doubt. Here's the third thing we learn from Jesus, full of compassion, is the only one who can replace doubt with belief. Don't miss the compassion of Jesus as he allows the doubter to touch and feel the nail-pierced hands and the wound in his side. And with that encounter, doubting Thomas becomes believing Thomas. And Thomas puts forth the boldest, the clearest, the most heartfelt profession in all of Scripture when he says in chapter 20, verse 28, my Lord and my God. Thomas is saying, Lord, you are my leader. You're the one I will follow. You're the one I will submit to. You are the authority in my life. And he's also saying, you're not just my leader, you are God. In the Gospel of John, we have many titles for Jesus. In fact, in the first chapter of John alone, we have these titles. He is called the Word. He is called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's how he's introduced by John the Baptist. He's called the Son of God. He's called Rabbi. He's called the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one we've been waiting on. He's called the King of Israel. He's called the Son of Man. That's just in chapter 1. But here, at the end of the book, verse 28 is the climax when Thomas puts forth that beautiful proclamation, my Lord and my God. And Thomas makes that proclamation after he encounters Jesus and his doubts are taken away when Jesus demonstrates himself in a personal and compassionate way. So I ask you, maybe some of you are doubting. Maybe you're wondering about this Christian faith. As Jesus encounters you, can you say, my Lord and my God, I will bow before your authority even when I don't understand it. Now that profession is not just for the non-believer coming to Christ. That's a profession of the believer as we go through the events in our life. There are many times when we need to restate that profession. You are my Lord, and you are my God. One more thing in this passage. Jesus, full of compassion, acknowledges the faith of future believers. This is a great verse, verse 29. Right after that profession, Jesus says, you know what, Thomas, that's fantastic. I'm standing right here before you, and you are able to see the prints in my hand and my wound in my side, and you are able to touch it. Because you have seen, Thomas, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus, full of compassion, acknowledges and blesses the faith of us. Future believers who have had the same encounter with Christ. We didn't get to touch the nail prints like Thomas did. And we didn't get to touch the side like Thomas did. But if you've trusted in Christ, you will agree. It was just as real. And it was just as personal. And it was just as powerful. And it was just as profound as what Thomas experienced there in that room. And when we follow the leader, not only do we find great calmness and joy and peace and confidence in His compassion, but we are ones who need them to show compassion as well. So think of those in your life showing compassion to them, the compassion that Jesus would want you to show. Are you showing the compassion of Jesus? You see, compassion doesn't mean we back away from what we believe. Compassion means we stand with conviction that there is a gentleness and there is a respect and there is a desire to do it the way Jesus would have us to do it. Compassion that brings peace. Compassion that brings joy. Compassion that removes doubt and brings confidence in life.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Some have said that Paul's letter to the Romans is the Bible compressed into one book. Yet few believers understand its brilliance, color, and depth. Now, Ron Moore makes that easier with his study guide simply titled Romans. This diamond of the New Testament shaped the Protestant Reformation. Its worth is so great that countless Christians have staked their reputations, their lives, and their eternal destiny on its teaching. Learn why when you join Ron in his study of this foundational letter to the Christians of Rome. Romans is yours as an electronic download for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
In our lives as Christians, there are times when we go through some bad stretches, spiritually speaking. There are times when we follow at a distance. Sometimes we have experiences where we say we could not be closer to Christ. And sometimes we have some bad stretches. And because of that, it's important that we take some time for renewal and commitment. When Jesus comes and asks us again, do you really love me? I think the first principle we can learn from this passage is this. When you follow the leader, there are needed times of recommitment and renewal. There are going to be times when you do not feel close to God. Just like if you're married, there are times in your marriage relationship you feel more connected, more in love than you do other times. That's just called life. But when we go through these bad stretches, there needs to be times of recommitment and renewal. And that's what's happening here, I believe, in the life of Peter. He has gone through a terrible time. He's denied Christ 3 times over. And Jesus has met him and said, Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know my heart. You know that I love you. So, here's my challenge. Are you following at a distance? Are you in a bad stretch? You're a Christian, but you're following at a distance. I challenge you that this would be a time of recommitment and renewal. When he asks, do you really love me? If you're a Christian, it's time to say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know I love you. And here's my desire for recommitment and renewal. I want to demonstrate my love to you.
We hope you'll join us for that message next time. And please remember to order your copy of Ron's PDF study booklet, Romans. It's available for a donation of any amount when you visit us on the web at ronmoore.org. We also invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.